shared my pain for years, I'm a bitter nigga. Excuses, I number the facts, the bitch is chillin', nigga. Call me an expert, a retainer, hurt feelings. My life is full of nothing but glass ceilings. Never broken a crack, lack of driver wheeling. Turn a kid in my heart, stop the constant bleeding. Living with the bullshit, viewing from a pulpit. Concerned about the love and flood the masses with. Hate this world, I hate people, I hate evil. Hate the hate so much, yeah, I hate me too. Wish every day was my last, got better things to do. Since everybody seems that they're better than you. Always fucking wrong, never claim to be right. One time I disagree, you really wanna fucking fight? Right, got me hype, pure adrenaline. Just for myself, see, but if the after's better than before, but fighting for the fan was a chore. Gets harder every year, no longer a young bull. Hunger wearing all, stomach is too full. Looking for true love, but I feel the hate pull. Hate phonies, let's be real, I hate myself. Hate the depths I endure, hate my lack of wealth. When I look to the sky, I see what's below me. Kicked off the scrap heap, I'm James Lone.
Marks a new beginning. Thanks for supporting a total reinvention. The soul is still here, but the vibe's a little different. Unpredictable, hide the kids and the women. Sports of all sorts, music mixed for living. Rep New York City, but ain't the politicians. Always bring the heat, Steph baking in the kitchen. Big shout to y'all, I appreciate the listen. Donnie put the rest, but I'm still in the best. In the world of what I do, all y'all know the rest. I live it, I breathe it, I'm the whole definition. The pinnacle, the ultimate, I'm on a new mission. The Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, the best in the world of what he does. Tap in.
What up, people? What up, people? Welcome to another Sprinkle of Salt edition where I almost choke on my spit. Let me try that again. What up, people? Welcome to another Sprinkle of Salt edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast. featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. Yes. Let me repeat that again. Best in the world at what he does. Since I got friends, I got people, I got associates, I got compadres, compatriots, fellow podcasters that are putting secret episodes out, dropping shit on a whim, I decided, and I'm not a follower. I usually don't like following trends. But I decided to say, you know what? Some shit came up today, and I need to get this shit off my mind before I actually drop the full length episode for this week on the Saucy Thoughts of Mike Steph. This evening, this afternoon, this evening, good night, good morning, whatever. News came out in the NBA world. News came out in the Knicks atmosphere. The New York Knickerbockers traded Obi Toppin to the Indiana Pacers. Guess what they traded him for? I'm waiting. They traded him for 2 second-round draft picks. Obi Toppin was going into his fourth season, or he should have been going into his fourth season as a Knickerbocker. Obi Toppin was the number 8 pick in the NBA draft 2020. Obi Toppin was, as far as my mind, as far as my eye can see, was supposed to be the heir apparent at the 4th spot. The heir apparent to none other than, you know, the human stink bomb himself, Julius Randle. There's a reason why Obi Toppin was drafted at the number 8 position. Even though a lot of Knicks faithful, myself included, had thought that was the wrong move at the time, because we kind of saw what was going to happen. We're like, well, if we already got a power forward and we're paying this power forward decent money, and that was Julius Randle, why are we drafting another power forward when we at the time had a glaring need at the point guard position? And we bypassed Halliburton to pick Obi Toppin. So then we tried to figure out, okay, maybe there's a plan in place. Maybe, just maybe, being the fact that this was coming off the first initial raggedy-ass year of Julius Randle, that there was some type of method to the madness. Like, okay, we're going to be ahead of the curve. We're going to draft Obi Toppin and insert him, or pretty much nurture him, so therefore, when inevitably Julius Randle shits the bed again, we already have a young replacement at hand, and we can use Julius Randle to get some type of trade collateral. Maybe draft capital. As our luck would have it, Julius Randle had an all-NBA season in 2021. He led us to the first round of the playoffs, first playoff appearance in at least, 7 years at the time. Even though he came up very small against our opponent for that first round matchup, the Atlanta Hawks. Matter of fact, you know what's so sentimental about that series? Because during that series is when I decided to start dropping Sprinkle of Salts. And do you want to know why? Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why? Because I was so pissed off. And I just dropped the episode, but I was so pissed off at the piss poor performance of Julius Randle and various other New York Knickerbockers that I said, you know what? Let me give the masses a special treat. And also allow me to get a lot of my angst out, so therefore I could have a clean slate the following week. So it's just apropos that Julius Randle would be not really the topic of this Sprinkle of Salt edition. What, 3 years later? 3 years running? 2 years running? That was 2021. So yeah, two and a half years later. Actually, not 2.5 years. But you get the gist. In 2022, Julius Randle reverted back to old stink-ass Julius. Old cheap-ass Julius from Everybody Hates Chris. Stingy with the ball, not trying to share the ball, trying to get his stats and be damned about the rest of the team development. And at that point in time, like, you know, Obi Toppin, in a limited time that he had available on the court, he has always showed improved. Yeah, could his defense stand to be improved? Yes, yes. But a lot of people in the NBA can stand to improve on defense. Julius Randle included. So we figured this year, being the fact we came into the year with some expectations, but not lofty expectations, that this would be the year that Obi Toppin would finally get some meaningful, consistent burn. But that was not to be. And you know why? Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why that was not to be? It's because for some reason, Coach Thibodeau has some type of warped love affair with Julius Randle. Is Julius Randle allowing Coach Tibbs to bang his wife? Or maybe another more insidious thought that just passed through my mind. Is Julius Randle doing favors to maintain his playing time on the New York Knickerbockers? Listen, he always got a sourpuss look on his face, so who knows? Maybe he likes to indulge in eating dill pickles. Interpret that how you may. So, this year, matter of fact, I'm going to fast forward to this year's playoffs. Matter of fact, I'm going to fast forward to the end of the regular season when Julius Randle did suffer a sprained ankle, a severely sprained ankle that limited him and took him out, I think, maybe the last 5 to 10 games of the regular season. And guess what? In that limited time, in those limited games, Obi Toppin has started minutes. And do you know what Obi Toppin do? Obi Toppin was dropping 20-plus a game. Obi Toppin was a dependable three-point threat from outside at the four position. Obi Toppin actually instilled much needed energy, much needed youth to our team. Jalen Brunson was using Obi Toppin in various ways. And there was something that I just read prior to me recording this earlier this evening. The triumphant trio of Mr. Grimes, Mr. Quickly, and Mr. Obi Toppin with one of the top three trios in the league the last 10 games of the season or so, and you thought that would follow, you know, you would just continue that into the into the postseason. Julius Randle was clearly hobbled. But you know where the breaking point was? The breaking point was a game in which, I believe it was game one against the Miami Heat, when Julius Randle was not playing because he had retweaked his injured ankle. And Obi Toppin had proved during that game he was the only consistent offensive threat that we had. I think he dropped maybe about 4 3-pointers in the first half. And I guess to spare the embarrassment of Julius Randle being exposed for the fraud that he has been since he's been a New York Knickerbocker, Coach Tibbs decided to promptly put Obi Toppin on the bench for the last 9 minutes of that game, and we lost against the Miami Heat. Some would say that cost us the series against the Miami Heat, because Obi Toppin never got consistent burn ever again in that series, just to spare the hurt feelings of Julius Randle, to try to quench all the uprising, all the scuttlebutt that maybe, just maybe, Obi Toppin needs to get more minutes than Julius Randle. Because do you know this stat? Julius Randle, in his 2 postseason appearances in the last 3 years, do you know what his field goal percentage is? I'll wait. 32%. No, that's not just 32% for one game. That's not just 32% for one series. In 3 combined series over the last 3 years, Julius Randle has shot 32% from the field. Julius Randle went from averaging 25.5 points per game in the regular season this year to averaging approximately a mere 16, 17 points in the postseason. Obi Toppin, well, a leaked tape came out, and it hasn't been verified, but it hasn't been denied either, that one of the games during the postseason in the locker room, Obi Toppin went off on Coach Tibbs, called him a bum-ass coach. Maybe you need to coach. Yo, this nigga don't know how to coach. Bum-ass coach. Something to that effect, but you get the gist. At that point in time, everybody knew the writing was on the wall. To me, and I'm going to bottom line this, because this is just a ranting session. To me, what should have been done is the following. I mean, first of all, you wasted a lottery pick 3 years later and didn't even get nowhere near equal return for him. You got 2 second-round picks. So what? We got 10 second-round picks over the next 3 years? Whoop-de-damn-do. But we're still stuck with bum-ass Julius Randle, with stink-bomb Julius Randle, with buzzkill Julius Randle. You know what y'all should have did? You know what the Knicks should have did? I would have preferred the Knicks to do? While I have an ambulance in the background? Yes. 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 I would have rather the Knicks try to trade Julius Randle and maybe take a step back this year. I mean, this upcoming season. I doubt we would have. But I would have rather tried to get Julius Randle's salary off the books and try to actually nurture the asset that you had in Obi Toppin. Instead, not only do you trade him for 2 bum-ass second-round picks, you trade him inside the conference. You trade him to a team that will definitely utilize his assets, utilize his strengths. And this, you're going to trade him to a team with the aforementioned Tyrese Halliburton. And now they got Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown. They got a little squad over there. But more importantly, you got Obi Toppin with a chip on his shoulder, wanting to prove not the naysayers wrong, but the New York Knicks wrong. And isn't it ironic that I believe we drafted or we signed either he's an undrafted free agent or we drafted his brother. I forgot his brother's name, but Toppin, and from the University of Kentucky. And now you think that dude going to be looking at Tibbs, not going to be looking at Tibbs with the side eye? Like, I know you ran my brother out. I should fuck you up. Excuse my French. I don't know. I do not like this move. They did have another move late tonight in which they signed Dante DiVincenzo to a 4-year, $50 million contract. So now the New York Knicks are becoming the Villanova Knicks. So now we have Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, and White Chocolate, if you will, DiVincenzo. Say that three times, because I'm damn sure I ain't. I already chopped it up twice. You know what this tells me? This tells me this. Coach Tibbs is on the clock. That trio that I just said, Hart, Brunson, and Dante. Told y'all I wasn't saying his name three times. While they was in college, even though, yes, I know years have gone by, while they was in college, they accounted for 2 national championships. Dare I say, back-to-back national championships while they were in Villanova. Do you know who their coach was at Villanova? Jay White. Do you know who's been long rumored to make that big step from the collegiate field to the pros, to the NBA? Jay White. And tell you the truth, he's been waiting for a long time. Now, if he has 3 of his stalwarts that can instill the culture that he may want to instill, if he decides to make this jump, he has championship pedigree, at least in college. But what you're witnessing right now is a shift. It's a big shift. And tell you the truth, I don't think they're wrong for this shift. Jalen Brunson, right now, I won't say he's calling the shots, but he has a lot of pull in that organization, and rightfully so. You don't think this Dante move, along with re-signing Josh Hart, doesn't have Jalen Brunson's fingerprints over it or Jalen Brunson's approval? You really think Brunson is really feeling Tibbs right now? Maybe, maybe not. Because remember, it took Tibbs to finally shorten the rotation and get rid of Fournier and somebody else, unfortunately, and chop Derrick Rose's minutes at the very beginning of the season for us to actually take off. And for him to finally officially hand over the keys to the offense to Jalen Brunson for us to take off. And Jalen Brunson took us to game 6 of the 2nd round. We finally have a point guard. His game went to a new level when he got his boy Josh Hart on the team. So imagine what's going to happen when we got Dante. White Dante was dropped, which guard was, he only averaged 9 and change this year at my other team's Golden State Warriors. And he was actually rumored to be a malcontent during the playoffs because of inconsistent playing time. But one thing
was, one thing was true was the fact of he was a threat from downtown. I believe his 3-point percentage was hovering around 40% for the year. And he had, I think they said he had the fourth most minutes on the Warriors squad. He's one more year removed from his ACL injury. And he's going to be playing with players that know exactly how to utilize his skill set to the utmost. So that's the only piece of silver lining in this gray cloud of the trade of Obi Toppin. We can always dream, right? That's why I started this. That's why I started this podcast, this sprinkler saw off with some debauch. A dream. Fantasy. And I wish this reality. And you walking out my door. Well, you know, I done chopped that shit up. So let's listen to some more. Okay. With all that being said, I'm going to wrap this up. Wrap this up in a nice little tidy bow. That was my sprinkle of salt for this week. Yeah, I don't know what the hell the Knicks think they were doing by trading Obi Toppin, but I guess we will live to rue the day that this transaction happened. And White Dante is now in the Big Apple. Please, 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 please check out the full-fledged episode of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, both on all streaming platforms wherever podcasting is available, and, of course, on the YouTube page of Mike Steph. Yes, MikeSteph. Mike Steph. Not Mike Steve. Not Mike Staff, like a staff infection. No, Mike Steph. I spelt it out for you, and I'm not re-spelling it out for you again. Yeah, I know. I done got real hostile, haven't I? But no, please check out this week's edition where I will be recapping today's WWE offering, PLE, if you will. Money in the Bank, PLE. Money in the Bank pay-per-view. With a lot of shocking events that happen. And I hope to have a couple tricks up my sleeve, a couple people to help me recap. If not, I'll go dolo as usual. But hopefully I can have a little bit of help. A little bit of help for my friends. But even though they're not going to be my friends, a little bit of help for my fam. But do you know what fam is going to be? Ah! Cliffhanger, mother effer! I ain't taking it! Or I ain't divulging who's going to be on there because it's not a definite thing. But regardless, check out this week's full-fledged episode of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph once again, on all streaming platforms wherever podcasts are available, and on YouTube, specifically the YouTube page of Mike Steph. It will be dropping late Sunday night, early Monday morning. Yeah. So, yeah, this is very, very impromptu because, tell you the truth, I parked my car and I said, you know what? I'm going to give y'all a little fucking extra because I've been shitting on my flagship, the podcast version, the audio version. I've been shitting on y'all and I apologize because it's almost like I've been enamored with seeing my face, seeing my beautiful mug on the screen, that I forgot that y'all fell in love with my voice first. And plus, like I said, the audio version I hold near and dear because stuff like I can't do on YouTube because they will strike my account down. They will. They will be coming knocking at my door with a copyright strike. And look, your man ain't really making no bread off of this. So I don't got time to be paying no copyrights. But being the fact that my following is so low on these podcasting streets, on this audio street, on this audio version, I can get away with a lot of shit. With all that being said, I would check you out in probably about less than 24 hours. Hopefully. And if not, I'll check you out later. All right? Be easy. Goodbye. A dream, a simple fantasy that I wish was reality, and you come knocking at my door so we can relive this dream once more. Goodbye.
Bye.